Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16 this morning. Let's look at verse number 1 and following. Mark 16, verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices so that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw, I want you to notice this next phrase, the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. Let's bow for a prayer, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, Lord, we come before you today. We're thankful, Lord, for the gospel message, the salvation that you provided. We're thankful, Lord, that we can look back on time. We can look at the scriptural account of the resurrection of Christ and we can say the tomb is empty. We can look back on history and the secular writings of the world and how that they proclaim the tomb is empty. And Lord, we are here today to rejoice in the fact that we have a risen Savior. Lord, as you rose from the dead, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to live a resurrected life. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Guide and direct. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would repent of their sins and trust Christ by faith to save their soul. I pray, Lord, now for your blessing upon thy people. Bless the young people that are in the back. Help them, Lord, to be able to hear and to discern what is being said and apply it to their lives, that they might come to know thee also. Guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week was Palm Sunday. That day reminds us of Jesus' triumphant entry in Jerusalem. Within days of being heralded as Hosanna and King, they turned on him. They denied the one that helped them, the one that healed them, the one that forgave them, and the one that had the power to save them. They chose a murderer by the name of Barabbas in his place. We find that they mocked him. They beat our Savior. They spit upon him. They humiliated him. They blindfolded him and they beat him with the palms of their hands and they said, "Prophesy unto us, who is it that smote thee?" As we read the account, we find that they drove nails in his hands and in his feet. They lifted him up between heaven and earth, and there, the Bible says, sitting down, they watched him there, and they watched our Savior die. The sky grew dark. The ground shook. And one of the last things that Jesus said when he was on the cross of Calvary, he cried, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. His disciples were crushed. They thought their hope was gone. The religious crowd was relieved. And the centurion that stood by was amazed and said, "Certainly, this was the Son of God." They took him from the cross and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. They sealed the tomb. History tells us that they took wax. And after they rolled the stone in front, they took wax and they poured it over top of the tomb. And then they took a Roman signet and sealed it. And anybody breaking that seal was punishable by death for breaking the law of Rome. The Bible says they sealed the tomb and they set a watch over it. And the soldiers came. And they sat there all night and all of a sudden the ground shook. The stone was rolled away. The angel ascended down upon that throne and the Bible says they did fear and they did quake and they became as dead men. You know, it's all because of what Christ did. His death, burial, and resurrection is why we are here this morning. You see, we meet together today because the tomb is empty. We meet together today because we serve a risen Savior. It was very early, the first day of the week, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's one of the reasons why we come together and we worship on the first day of the week. Not on Saturday. Not on the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. It is the first day of the week. It never has been the Sabbath. Some people have tried to make it a Christian Sabbath and it's not. This is the first day of the week. It is a day of work. Did you know Sunday is a day of work? It is for your preacher anyway. And it's a day of new beginnings. It was the first day of God's creation. And it was a day that our Savior rose from the grave. By the way, Jesus prophesied and He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. By the way, that's why we don't have Good Friday services here. You cannot fit 3 days between Friday and the first day of the week. It doesn't fit. Jesus Christ actually was crucified on Wednesday. He was placed in the tomb right about 6 p.m. right before the Thursday started. There, the Jewish calendar started at 6 p.m. in the evening. We are here today, as I said, because we have a risen Savior. This morning, as we contemplate and we consider the fact that our Savior rose from the grave, and that phrase in verse number 4, where it says, when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. May I suggest to you this morning, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus Christ out. The stone was rolled away to let mortal man peer in, to see your salvation was complete. It was finished. It was completed for you and I. And so I want you to notice this morning several things that you ought to realize about the stone as it was rolled away. What is it? How should I apply it to my life? What's the big deal that the stone was rolled away? Well, number one, I think we ought to realize this: as the stone was rolled away, it exhibited the power of God. It exhibited the power of God. As the disciples and as the women were coming to the tomb, the women said, "Who's going to roll away this stone? For it is very great." That word great means huge, large. It comes from the word megas. very large stone. They said that some of these stones, when they built these, they built them on a track. And once you rolled them, it was almost impossible humanly to roll them back up because they actually had to roll those stones a little bit on an uphill grade. And those women said, you know what, we need to go ahead and we need to anoint the body of Jesus and prepare His body as the custom was for burial. And they went there and they thought, who's going to roll the stone away? But they went anyway. I think the very first thing that we need to understand is this. We need to realize the stone was rolled away. It reveals the power of God. And when we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we ought to consider this fact. It reveals the power of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is all powerful and that I'm not. Amen? I have to learn to trust Him and not myself. He is all powerful. The power of God was manifested that day in the fact that the stone was rolled away. Power over physical limitations. Those women were limited as far as what they could do. They said, you know what, we need to roll that stone away, but we're limited. We don't know exactly how we're going to get that stone back. Power over the forces of our physical limitations. And as that stone was rolled back, we need to realize this. It represents the power of God. Amen. It represents the power of God. And those individuals who walk with Christ and we live a resurrected life, listen, we can have the power of God on our life and we can live a resurrected life with Him. Amen? Yeah. I want you to notice several things. Power over physical limitations. A number of years ago, there was a preacher that was considered a revivalist, Charles Finney. And Charles Finney would meet together, and there wasn't any churches that was large enough for Charles Finney to meet in, and they would meet in open fields as Charles Finney would go ahead and preach the Word of God to people. And thousands of people would come and hear him. They were meeting in an open field one day. And as he was preaching, the sky grew dark and the sky grew black. And all of a sudden, it started rumbling with thunder. He was preaching. And in the distance, lightning started striking. And off in the distance, you could see just the rain coming down in sheets. And he stilled the people. And he went out, and as he was preaching here, he went between the people and the storm, and he raised his hands up in the air. And he cried out to God. He says, Lord, here are people that need to hear the gospel and they need to be saved today. Divide the storm. Divide the storm. These people might hear. And the breeze started picking up. He raised his hands towards the sky. And the storm came to the edge of the field. And the storm split. And one went to the one side of them, the other storm came to the other side. And the sun opened up on top of them, and not a drop of rain fell upon where they were at.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that when we walk with God, the power of God can be manifested in our lives. Amen. And that's happened over and over and over. When we see the stone that was rolled away, it reminds me that we serve a God that is above physical limitations. Amen. He's above limitations when it comes to health. I've witnessed many times when God had His healing hand upon certain individuals and doctors would say, you know what, we've only given this man 24 hours to live, and the people of God would get together and they would pray, and within a matter of a week they'd be walking out of the hospital, and the doctors scratched their head and they say, you know what, we don't understand it. We don't understand why this has happened. This person, by all means, should be dead. And I tell the doctors, you don't understand the God we serve. Amen? You see, when I see the stone that was rolled away, it reminds me of the fact that we serve a God that is above human limitations. And we serve a God that is above physical limitations. The stone was rolled away even though it was great. It exhibits the power of God. Power over death itself. In Matthew chapter 28, and verse number 6, it says, the angel said, for he is not here, for he is risen as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The power of God was manifested. The grave could not hold him. I don't believe they rolled the stone away to let Jesus out. I believe they rolled the stone so we could come in and we could see the place of the empty tomb. Power over physical limitations, power over death itself, power over any human government. I was telling the Sunday school, there's been a couple times when I've been out knocking on doors and passing out gospel tracts, and the police would come to me and say, you know, you're not allowed to do this. And I said, do what? They said, you're not allowed to pass out your literature. And I told the policeman, I said, sir, I said, you are public, you represent the law here, right? He says, oh yes. And I said, the supreme law of the land is our Constitution, correct? He said, yes it is. I am exercising, number one, free speech. And I said, number two, I'm exercising freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And I said, are you going to restrict me from my constitutional rights? He said, no. I said, good. I said, you can go back about your business and I'll do mine. And he left. Sometimes we need to understand this. God's power is more powerful than man's power. And God's law is more important than man's law. Amen. And when the Romans came and the Jews said, you know what? When he was alive, when this person was alive, talking about Jesus, he said that after 3 days he'd raise from the dead. We need to go ahead and set a guard. And we need to seal that tomb. And so Pilate said, you know what? You can go ahead and do that. You seal that tomb. And they went ahead and they poured that hot wax over it. And they put that Roman stamp upon it. They placed Roman guards out there to guard the tomb. But listen, after 3 days, it didn't make any difference what seal was on that tomb. And it didn't make any difference what law of the land was written. When 3 days was up from the grave, he arose. Amen. And he was going to go ahead and come out of the grave, whether it was against the law or not. And even though the Romans said anybody that breaks this seal is going to be punishable by death, listen, God's law supersedes man's law. Amen. Hallelujah for that. And so when I see the stone rolled away, it reminds me of God's power being manifested. God's power being manifested. Verse number 4. The stone was rolled away, for it was very great. But not only was the power of God manifested, but also the message of God. The message of God was manifested that day. It is a shame that as our bus workers went out and they tried to get kids to come to church, many people had plans today. We can't go to church because we have activities that our children are going to be involved in. We have to go on our egg hunt. We have to go to this activity, that activity. It's sad when we take those things and we replace Jesus Christ with rabbits and eggs. I'm not going to preach against Cadbury bunny eggs because I like those. Hot cross buns and grandma's dinner with her spiral cut ham. Let's go ahead and eat some unclean meat while we're celebrating a Jewish resurrection. Amen? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? But you know, when you really stop and think about it, it's not about all of those things that our society wants to go ahead and incorporate into these holidays. By the way, there's big money in that. You talk to these truck drivers that work for Walgreens, and talk to them about how much candy they haul for Walgreens during Halloween and Easter and Valentine's. It's enough to break any truck driver's back, I'll guarantee you. Is that right, Brother Troy? Amen. I know Brother Don's told me that. Truckloads. But that's not the message. What is the message? What is the message of the resurrection of Christ? And I don't even like to use the term, quote, Easter because of the connotation that it has to a star. But what is the message? Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this. The angel, this is a heavenly message. It was sent from God. He said, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. The message is this. Verse 6, He is risen. That's the message. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. I want you to notice the message. Our message, we are sent to preach not sociology, but salvation. Not economics, but evangelism. Not culture, but conversion. Not progress, but pardon. We're sent to preach not a new social order, but new birth. Not revolution, sent to preach a revival. Not resuscitation, but resurrection. Not a new organization, but a new creature. Not democracy, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to preach. Verse number 6, he says, be not affrighted. In other words, don't be afraid. You know, people have all kinds of fears. Some people are afraid of the dark, and some people are afraid of losing their job. Some people are afraid of losing good health. May I suggest to you this morning, you ought to be afraid of God. You ought to have a good reverence and a reverential fear towards God. You say, well, preacher, I thought God was love. He is. God is also holy. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. May I remind you that the God that allowed you to come into existence also has a day appointed when He's going to take you out. We ought to have a holy reverence towards God. We ought to have a little bit of fear towards God. So many times people, they say, well, you know what? I'm not afraid to die. You ought to be if you're lost. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you ought to be afraid to die. Because hell's real. For a child of God, we don't have anything to fear. Amen? The angel said, fear not. He said, be not affrighted. For the child of God, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't have to be afraid. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Why shouldn't we be afraid? Verse number 6, it says, He is risen. Jesus Christ overcame sin, death, and the grave. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, Jesus said, ye shall live also. The message was manifested when the stone was rolled away. The message is, don't be afraid. The message is, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The message is, the angel said this. Look at verse number 6. Behold the place where they laid Him. Now that word behold is a word of invitation. The angel said, behold, look at it for yourself. The tomb is empty. In Matthew it says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know what that is? It is a personal invitation for everyone to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life? That can take place when you recognize the fact that you are a sinner against God, and you recognize the fact that you have broken God's law, and you recognize the fact that Jesus Christ came to pay the price for your sin. And if you will repent of your sin and trust Christ by faith, the Bible says that He will save your soul. Right. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. The Bible says, and He will have mercy and He will give abundant pardon. There is a personal invitation. Behold the place. And after they came to this place, the message of God was manifested. He said this in verse number 7, "But go your way." I remember one day back in 1978 when Jesus Christ passed by my life. And I think that He was passing by for the last time for me. And He said to me in a still small voice, He said, "Rick, you better get saved tonight. I might not pass by this way again. You better get saved tonight." And as that old preacher preached and the invitation was given, the Holy Spirit was working overtime on me. And He passed by and He said, "Come to me. Come to me, Rick. I'll forgive. I'll pardon." And that night I walked the aisle and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm here to tell you, that was not the end. And salvation ought not be the end for you if you're saved. It ought to be just the beginning. Because now that we've received Christ as our Savior, now that we've responded to the place of the personal invitation, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now we're to go from that place. We're to go from that place and we're to let people know He is risen. He said, "But go your way and tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth forth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see Him as He said to you." We should go. And what should we tell them? Salvation is complete. Tell them that your Savior lives. Tell them that death has been conquered. The power of sin has been overcome. Our Savior lives and He's waiting for you. I want you to notice verse 9. The stone was rolled away so that we might realize and we might understand the power of God. The stone was rolled away so that we might understand what the real message of God was. The fact that He has risen and completed salvation. Verse number 9. "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils." Verse number 9 tells me this. The stone was rolled away. Mary went to the tomb. Then Mary left. Jesus met Mary on the road. The stone was rolled away, so the person of God, who He really was, could be realized. The stone was rolled away so that the person of God was manifested, who He really was. Who is this one that rose from the dead? Revelation 13:8 says He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In 1 John 1:29, John the Baptist looked at Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." In 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 2, it says, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." In 1 John 3 and verse number 5, it says that He was manifested to take away our sin. Who is this one that is being manifested to us? That rose from the dead. He is the one that was slain from the foundation of the world. He was the one that came to take our sin away. He was the one that came, according to Matthew 5:17, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In every aspect of the law, Jesus Christ did that. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5, it says that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to take my sin and go to a certain church and find a certain man that sits behind, in a booth behind a curtain and tell him all of my sins. And then he can take all of the things that I said and he can pray for me and transfer them to God. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Because I have a high priest called Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He ever Elizabeth to make intercession for me. And I can go directly to Jesus Christ because He died for me, He died for my sins, was buried, the third day He arose from the grave, and now He becomes our intercessor. He is our mediator. And when the stone was rolled away, it revealed the fact that His mediation is complete. He is the true mediator of the new covenant. He also says that the Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. In Luke 4 and verse number 43, He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And in John chapter number 10, verse number 10, this one that was manifested by the stone being rolled away, He's the one that come to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm here to tell you this morning, the life that Jesus Christ has to offer is far better than any life that the world, the flesh, and the devil can offer you. If you will submit yourself to God and you will embrace Him, you'll find out what the real meaning of living is all about. Say, oh, preacher, I don't want to get in that dead religion. You know, you've experienced the wrong thing. We've got a lively hope. Amen? We ought to be excited about the things of God. And those of you that have trusted God and those of you that have learned to walk with God, I'll guarantee you, you can testify to the fact, you know what? My God has been good to me. And God has supplied our needs for me. And He's met all of my needs. And you know, I can have testimony after testimony about how God has done that in people's lives. Amen. You come to give life and life more abundantly. And let me close with this idea. Look at Luke chapter number 24. Take your Bible and turn over to Luke. This is a parallel passage to Mark 16. The stone was rolled away, number one, so that the power of God could be revealed. The stone was rolled away, number two, so that the message of God could be revealed. The stone was rolled away, number three, so that the person of God could be revealed. In Luke 24, and verse number 25, the stone was rolled away so that the plan of God could be revealed. You know, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. You say, well, what is that plan? Luke 24, look at verse number 25. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the Scriptures, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. You know, it says in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You better search the Bible. You better find the Lord while there's opportunity. Look at verse number 26. Look at that again. Ought not have Christ to have suffered these things? What is the plan of God? The plan of God started before this world was ever created. Revelation 13:8 talks about the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. In God's mind, He knew that before He created any of this, He knew that man was going to sin. He knew that He was going to allow His Son, Jesus Christ, to come down and live a sinless life and to die on the cross of Calvary and to be buried. And the third day, He knew that He was going to raise Him from the dead. It was God's plan for Jesus to die on the cross for you. It was God's plan before the foundation of the world that He would come and die for me. That was a part of God's plan. But it doesn't stop just with Jesus dying. Look at verse number 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. Now look at verse number 47. God's plan. Number one is for Jesus to die for me. God's plan is that I understand what the gospel is and I receive it. God's plan then for me as a child of God, verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. God's plan is that we take the gospel to the uttermost part of the world and we share the gospel with boys and girls and moms and dads. You know, medical missions are wonderful and humanitarian missions are great. But the greatest missions that we can be involved in is the missions of seeing souls saved around the world. That's what we ought to be involved in, amen? Because we can go ahead and feed the hungry and put a roof over their head and they'll go ahead and enter into hell fat, fed and dry. And they'll still die without Christ. We need to go ahead and understand what the plan of God is. Verse 26, Christ is the only solution for man's sin problem. Christ commanded us, verse number 47, to preach repentance. People need to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. In verse number 48, Jesus said this, and ye are witnesses of these things. A number of years ago, I was sitting on the front porch of a house. I was just a teenager. And I was sitting there talking to some people. And there was an intersection of Culberson Street and Main Street in Astoria. And we were sitting there, we were talking, and all of a sudden we heard this terrible screech. And as I heard the tire screeching, I looked up and I saw as someone pulled out into the intersection through a stop sign and they were T-boned by another car. And we went down and checked on them and everything, and the people were all right, police was coming. I was an eyewitness of exactly what happened. I was there. I saw it. Back in 1978, I am an eyewitness of what Jesus Christ did for me. I saw what He did for me. Nobody can convince me otherwise what Jesus Christ did for me.
That's right.
We're commanded to be witnesses of the resurrected Christ in our life. The only way that you can be a real witness of the resurrected Christ in your life is if you've experienced that resurrected Christ.
Amen.
And if you've experienced that resurrected Christ in your life, you can't keep quiet. It's impossible to keep quiet. How about you? You see, the stone was rolled away. Not to let the Savior out, but to allow the faithless, to allow the faint of heart to peer in. The empty tomb, it declares emphatically, we serve a risen Savior. It declares a victorious Savior. It declares that the only path to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And yet today, the real question is, what will you do with the resurrected Savior? Will you leave here today and say, you know what? I understand that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but it doesn't do anything for me. It will if you'll repent of your sins and trust Christ. It will if you'll claim Him as your Savior and Lord. Today, what will you do with Christ? He died for your sins. He was buried with your sins. He arose 3 days later without your sins. Will you receive Him today? He lives, and He wants you to live for Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed as the organist and pianist comes to play through verse invitation. This morning, the stone was rolled away for your sake. It was rolled away for my sake. He wants you to peer in and experience the place where the Savior was and not is. He wanted you to do that so that you could go ahead and understand that your salvation is complete and all you need to do is call on Him. I wonder this morning, how many here with an uplifted hand could say, "Preacher, there was a time and place in my life when I repented of my sin and I trusted Christ to be my Savior. And I know that He lives and He lives within my heart. I might not be perfect, but I know that He's been there and He's saved my soul. And I am a witness of that. And because I'm a witness of that, I can raise my hand high. I know I'm saved. Can I see your hand this morning? I know I'm saved." God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Is there anyone here this morning could say, "Preacher, would you please pray for me because I'm not saved? I need to be saved. I realize that Jesus died for me. I realize that He was buried and rose again the third day for me. I need to trust Him as my Savior, and I understand that. Would you pray for me? Can I see your hand this morning? Pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me." How many here with an uplifted hand could say, "Preacher, as a Christian, I need to start living a resurrected life. I need to start walking with the Lord, and I haven't been. And I wish you'd pray for me." God bless you. Pray for me. God bless you. Lord bless you. Anybody else? Pray for me that I'll walk with the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'd like to have everybody stand to your feet if you would please, as the piano begins to play. Father in heaven, we ask and pray, Lord, that You'd work in people's lives. Lord, I pray that You'd draw us close to the Savior. Help us, Lord, to see the place of the empty tomb. Lord, a place that is a reminder of us of the power of God and the message of God and the person of God and the plan of God. Help us, Lord, to live accordingly. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ, that they might get saved. Guide and direct. We ask it in Christ's name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. There's room at the cross for you. Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Maybe you've got a burden on your heart. Maybe you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior. We invite you to come. Christian, would you come? Maybe it's to come and say, "Lord, help me to walk a resurrected life." Maybe there's a need in your life. Would you come this morning? But most of all, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come and trust Him today? The Lord might not pass by again this way. Respond while there's opportunity. Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 9, if you would, please. Let's sing that last verse as a prayer to the Lord this morning. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room
at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Well, I'm glad there's room at the cross. But I'm glad this morning that the tomb is empty. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow forward to prayer and let's be dismissed from our service. Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you would help us to experience the resurrection of Christ in our lives. Help us, Lord, to experience the empty tomb. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless in a great way. Help us, Lord, to walk with you today. Help us, Lord, to say the things, Lord, you'd want us to say. Help us, Lord, to do the things, Lord, you'd want us to do. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, Lord, might they search someone out after the service, Lord, that they might know Christ. I pray, Lord, now for your blessing and, Lord, for your help. Be with us this evening as we look at your word and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Service tonight at 6 o'clock, choir practice at 5. God bless and have a great afternoon.